Perek Beis Mishnah Hey until Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. One of the cases we mentioned in the first perek of damage done by an animal is when the animal actually goes into the Nizuk, the person who is damaged, into his property, and does the damage there. And according to the opinion in that Mishnah in Perek Aleph, we said that even if the animal is a Tam, meaning it's not a regular Gora, and therefore it should usually only need to pay for half the damage, since it went into the other person's property and that it wasn't allowed to do that even, so even if it's a Tam, it has to pay for the full damage, as if it was a Mord. So this Mishnah is going to actually bring a Machlekes in that matter. One of the opinions will be the same opinion as that Mishnah we had before, and there'll be another opinion which argues on that. So what was that case? Shura HaMazik B'Shosha Nizuk. If the ox or any animal which belongs to the Mazik, who is the damager, or the person whose property damages, B'Shosha Nizuk, he's in the Nizuk's property. Ketzad, what's that case? Nogach, if he gored, Nogach, if he pushed using his body, Noshach, if he bit, Rovatz, if he lay down on something, Boat, or if he kicks. In all these cases, he does damage directly. B'Shosha Rabim, everyone agrees, M'Shalim Chatzi Nezek. You have to pay only for half the damage, and all these come under Keren, under goring or unusual damages, and therefore you're chayv even if it occurs in a public domain. Here comes the machlekes, but it's just hanizik. What happens if it occurs in the nizik's property? Again, the nizik is the person who is damaged, so if this animal goes into someone else's property and damages, then how much does he have to pay? Retirement, and retirement says nizik sholim. You've got to pay for the full damage, because since it's more strict, since he wasn't even allowed in that property, so retirement holds, you have to pay extra. The chachom say chatzi nezek is only a tam, and therefore you only have to pay for half the damage. Now retirement wants to prove his point, that being in someone else's property is more strict, and therefore you should have to pay more. So he learns the kavol chomer. Omar lehen Rabbi Tarfon said to the chachomim, Uma b'mkoim sheheikel al hashen v'al haregel. If in a situation where a halacha is lenient in regards to shein and regel, which is the animal eating or trampling on something, and when are they lenient in terms of those? B'shus rabim in a public domain, shu potter. We learned before that when it comes to shein and regel, if the animal eats something or tramples on something in a public domain, they're completely exempt. However, hechmer alehem, the halacha was strict with regards to those, b'shus nizok, if it's in the property of the nizik, l'sham nizik sholim. You've got to pay for the full damage. There's no concept of tam and muad in shin and regal. You always have to pay, except for a few cases like the indirect damage. But for any direct damage, when it comes to shin and regal, you have to pay for the full damage. So therefore, is it not all the more so that makoyim shehechmer alakem b'shus rabim, in a case where they're strict, even in b'shus rabim, and that's the case of keren, l'sham chatzin nizik, that keren in a public domain, you have to pay for half the damage. In odin, is it not all the more so shenachmer alecha b'shus nizik? We should be strict with it in the Nizik's property, that it should have to pay for the full damage. In other words, if Shin and Regel are completely exempt for it in a public domain, yet in a Nizik's domain, you have to pay for the full amount. So in a case where even in Rosh Harabim you have to pay some part, i.e. in Keren we have to pay for half the damage even in Rosh Harabim, so all the more so you should have to pay for the full damage in the Nizik's property. Yeah, quite a complicated couple of comments, so just say it one more time. Shin and Regel we're lenient for in a public domain, meaning we're more lenient with Shein and Regel than for Keren. Yet even for the more lenient one, Shein and Regel, you have to pay a full damage in the Nizik's property. So all the more so for the strict one, meaning Keren, you should have to pay for the full damage. And another way of putting this is because we were strict with Keren, even in a public domain, all the more so we should be at least as strict as Shein and Regel in a Nizik's domain. However, Omuloi, the Chachom said to him a very, very important rule, which needs to be taken into account for every Kavol Chomer, every all the more so argument which you come across. Dayo la bomin hadin, lihiyos kanid. It's enough for something which is learnt from something else to be only as strict as the thing it's learnt from. Meaning, let's give an example. I might say, if this person can afford that car, then all the more so this other person who is much wealthier can afford that car. That would be a kavol chomer. Yeah, if person A can do it, then all the more so person B can do it. I can't say if person A can afford a second-hand car, then all the more so person B can afford a first-class Ferrari. Why? Because you're changing what it is. The Ferrari is a bigger thing than the second-hand car, so it's no longer all the more so. You can't bring a proof about Ferrari from person A because he's got nothing to do with the Ferrari. So come back to our case. The Chachom are telling Rabbi Tarfon, what are you trying to say? You're trying to say, if situation A, which in this case is a public domain, you have to pay for half the damage. All the more so in situation B, in the Nizik's property, you have to pay for the full damage. That's on the kavol chomer. All you can prove from there is that in the Nizik's property, you have to pay for half damage, just like in Rosh Harabim. But it doesn't make sense to say, oh, if in situation A, you have to pay half the damage, situation B, all the more so you have to pay for the full damage. That doesn't make sense because you didn't discuss the full damage in situation A. And therefore, the Chachom say, all you can prove from there is that Mabrish Harabim Chatzinezek, just like in a public domain, you have to pay for half the damage. So to in the Nizik's property, you have to pay for half the damage. But you can't prove from there that you have to pay for the full damage. Omalehar Rabbi Tarfon replied to them, no, I'm going to change my Kavel Chomer now. Ani le odin keren mekeren. I'm not learning keren of Rishus HaNizuk, which is the case we want to prove. I'm not learning that from keren in Rishus HaRabim. Rather, ani odin keren meregel. I've got a Kavel Chomer from regel in Rishus HaNizuk to keren in Rishus HaNizuk, in the Nizuk's property. What's that Kavel Chomer? Umabim kerem shehekel ala shein ve'ala regel. If in a situation where the halacha is lenient on shein and regel, and where is that? Again, that's in Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim in a public domain. Because halacha is, you're exempt from everything. Yet, hechmir ba'keren. The halacha is strict with keren in Rishus HaRabim that you have to pay for half the damage. So all the more so, makom shehechmer al hashen v'al haregel b'rishus hanizuk. A situation where the halacha is strict on shein and regel. And when is that? That is in the nizuk's property. In addition to hechmer b'keren, it's not all the more so that we should be strict with keren, since we're even strict in rishus harabim. Meaning, what is this kavel chomer? It's quite complicated to work out the difference between the second kavel chomer and the first, so listen carefully. Rabbi Tarfon is basically saying that if in a lenient case you are stricter with keren, then all the more so in a strict case, you should be stricter with keren. I.e. in Rishus HaRabim, that was a lenient case, because Shein and Regel have no obligation. And yet, even in that lenient case, you are strict on Keren by saying that you have to pay for half the damage. Yeah, so in relation to Shein and Regel, you're strict on Keren. Yeah, so even when Shein and Regel are lenient, you're still strict on Keren. It's all the more so in the Nizik's property, where you're strict even on Shein and Regel, all the more so you should be strict on Keren. So here, Rabbi Tarfon is looking at Keren in relation to Shein and Regel. Keren is stricter than Shein and Regel in a lenient case. So in a strict case, all the more so it should be stricter in Keren. However, Omuloi, the Chacham said back to him, again, this still has the problem of Dayalabol Manadin Liskanidon. It's enough for the thing that you're learning to be as strict as the thing you're learning it from, but not more strict. And since even this Kavel Chomer is based on the fact that in Rishus HaRabim, Keren, you have to pay half the damage, so Keren in Rishus HaNizuk can only be the same as that, but you can't make it stricter than that because of this rule, which is also known as Dayoi, and it's short for Dayalabol Manadin Liskanidon. So again, all you can learn is Mabar Rishus HaRabim Chatzinezek, just like in Rishus HaRabim, in a public domain, you have to pay for half the damage. After Rishus HaNizuk, so too in the Nizuk's property, Chatzin Nezek, you have to pay for half the damage, but you can't learn for the full damage, since that would no longer be a Kavel Chomer. The truth is, the Gemara explains that Rabbi Tarfon, everyone agrees of this rule of Dayal Abom and Adin Liz Kanidon. However, in this case specifically, Rabbi Tarfon does not hold of that rule. The Gemara has a lengthy discussion for exactly why, but either way, according to the Chachomim, because we do say Dayoy here, this rule of Dayal Abom and Adin, because of that rule, you can't learn that Keren is the full damage, you can only learn that it's the same as in Rishus HaRabim, that it should be half the damage. Mishnah Vov, we're going to discuss now, and this will also take us throughout the next parak as well, and that is the category of Odom Hamazik, when a person does damage himself. So the Mishnah starts off firstly telling us, Odom Muad L'Olam, a person is always considered a Muad, because he is fully capable of doing damage, and he knows what he's doing, and therefore, since he should be watching over himself, he always needs to pay for the full damage. Bein Shoyge, Bein Mezid, Erbi by mistake or on purpose, Bein Erbi, Bein Yoshein, whether he be awake or asleep, whatever the case is, he'll have to pay for the full damage. The truth is, it's not always true, because if it was completely not his fault, for example, he lay down to go to sleep, no one else was there, no objects were there, and then someone else came along and put a china dish next to him after he went to sleep. So in that case, he would be potter. But this refers to a case where he slept somewhere he could break something, or he slept at the same time that someone else was there, or any other case where at the time that he went to sleep, there was a situation where he could do damage. In that case, he would be chayv, because a man is always considered a muad. Simias ein chaveiro. So for example, if he blinds his friend, v'shibras akelim, or he breaks his friend's utensils, m'shalim, he's got to pay for the full damage, because he is always considered a muad. Perigil Mishnah Aleph. The truth is, although I said the peg will actually talk about Odom Hamazik, most of it actually comes under the category of Bur, where a person digs a pit or puts something in a public domain which people can trample on, so that'll be the main discussion for this peg. Hamaniach Zakad Bishzerabim. Someone who puts a jug down in a public domain, Uvoacher, and someone else comes along, he's walking on the street, Vniskalbo Shavara, and he trips on it and he breaks the jug. So the question is this person who broke the jug, is he obligated to pay for the jug? Should he have been looking out for jugs in the street? The answer is no. People walk on the street normally. Potter, he's exempt from paying for the jug, so he does not need to assume there's going to be a jug there that he needs to avoid. In fact, in Huzakbo, if that person who tripped is injured as a result of tripping, then Baal Echov is chayv b'nizkai. The owner of the barrel, the owner of the jug, is obligated to pay for that damage. See, he should not have put that down in the public domain. It's like a burr. It's like digging a pit there. Interestingly enough, there's a difference when it comes to burr between an animal who gets injured by falling into the pit, by tripping on the thing, and a person. The Torah pretty much only talks about an animal falling into the pit. However, it's still applied, the damages still apply if a person does it. The only difference is, there's a certain fine called a koifer, who come across it once in the Masechta so far, which one needs to pay if an animal falls into the pit and dies. That doesn't apply if an animal dies if a person dies in the pit. But if a person only gets damaged, then damages do apply, just like with an animal. So since here, in this case, the person didn't die, he just got injured, so the person who put the jug there will be obligated to pay for his damage. Okay, now let's think of a scenario for a moment. Let's say someone has dug a pit in the public domain, and after he digs it, he makes it hefka. He says, you know what, I don't own it anymore. Now, if you don't own something, you're not chayev for any damage which it causes. So if someone then comes after he's made it hefka and falls into it and gets injured, you might think that this person will not be chayev for the damages. However, the halacha is, since he put the burrow there in the first place, he created the situation of damage. You're not allowed to make something hefka. In fact, hefka doesn't work if it's something which you made and can cause damage. However, that's only the case if you created that situation of damage on purpose, or you should have been more careful not to cause that damage. However, if it's completely out of your control, then you could make it hefka, and then you would not be chayev for any damage which it causes. So the Mishnah says, Nishbura kalabrishus harabim. If someone's jug or barrel, let's say it's full of water, and it suddenly smashes, it breaks in a public domain. So there are two hazards here. Now, one is the water, someone could slip. And number two, someone can injure themselves on the broken pieces. So let's say, someone slips on the water, or he injures himself by touching the broken pieces of the jug. Chayev, the owner of the jug, is obligated. And according to the Tanakama, this is even if he makes it hefka. Why? Because Tanakama holds, he should have been more careful. He shouldn't have dropped his jug. You can't call that out of his control. And therefore, since it wasn't out of his control, he can't make it hefka, and therefore any damage caused by it will make him chayev to pay. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, it depends. B'miskavein, I'm going to add some words into this. If the owner of the jug intends to keep the little pieces, meaning he starts gathering the pieces together as if he wants to keep them, then chayev then is obligated for the damages because it shows that he hasn't made them hefka. But in his kavin, if he doesn't intend to pick them up again, that means he's made them hefka. He's leaving them there. Now, contra Yehuda, Potter will be exempt if he made it hefka because contra Yehuda, it is considered out of his control the fact that the jug broke, and therefore hefka would work, and he'll be Potter for any damages which it causes after he has made it hefka. Which is really as soon as it smashes, because as soon as it smashes, he's made it hefka, because he's not picking them up. And therefore, he doesn't own it anymore, and therefore, he will not need to pay for the damages. Let's continue the discussion about burr, which again is anything which you put in Rosh Harabim, which can cause people to trample or get injured by hitting it. Hashefich mayim b'Rosh Harabim, someone who pours water into a public domain. And someone else gets injured through that water. He slips on it, for example. Chayv ben Izkai, the person who threw the water out, will be obligated to pay for his damage again, and that comes from the category of burr. Similarly, someone who hides thorns or glass in a public domain, but they're not really in a hidden place. They're where people might walk, and therefore, he'll be chayv for the damages. Similarly, if someone makes a fence out of thorns, and the thorns are sticking out, they're protruding quite far into Rosh Harabim, and therefore it's very easy for someone to get damaged with that. If your fence falls down into a public domain, this is talking about a case where the Beis Din or the people of the city told him to take it out of Rosh Harabim, build a new wall, whatever, and he hasn't done that. So he left it out there in Rosh Harabim. So since he had time to get rid of it and he didn't, if other people get injured through all these different ways, he will be obligated to pay for their damage. And again, all these come under the category of burr.